And we're back.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Jack-o'-lantern.
Oh my gosh. We're still doing it. We're still showing up.
Episode 4.
And people are listening. You
are listening. Do you hear what I hear? That was like more spooky than like Christmas song.
It was lovely. You were the background vocals.
Thank you. Thank you. This is our invisible stage.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Oh my gosh. How are you doing?
I'm good.
No, how are you doing?
I'm great. I had a day off and I managed to get a lot done. And I got to go to Costco, which was just wonderful.
Gosh, can I field trip with you to Costco?
Yes, we should do that. It was lovely. Strolled the aisles. And it was funny. I wanted to get a, I love those like Chomps bars. They're like healthy versions of beef jerky.
Yes.
Quote unquote.
With 9 or 12 grams of protein.
Exactly. It's like really good for you. It's a good snack. And I was like, I think Costco has a dupe brand. And literally, as I was going to look for it, there was a sample of it. And they were like, they're on sale. And I thought, yes, ma'am, we are on it.
You so got your post-workout protein.
I did. I got my post-workout protein. So it's very exciting. What about you? How was your day?
I just have a quick question for you. Are you one of those people who has a day off? But every minute is like, boom, 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 boom. Next thing.
100%. I have a list of things that I do, like homework each week that I give myself for like career stuff. Got checked them all off the list today.
Plus Costco.
Plus Costco. Plus watched some more Sopranos episodes. Plus worked out. Plus like went to therapy. You know, it's like a great day.
Got I love this done. So much. Giving you snaps.
I know. Snaps. I got a little
snap. I kind of don't know how to snap. That's a fun fact. But Olivia C. taught me. So I use all my fingers until they make a noise.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good help.
My husband and her helped me out with that like a month ago.
I love that.
Well, how was my day? I began my day at 7 a.m. Seeing patients all day, and the times in between, I realize I am very addicted to podcasting. We already talked about this. I was like, what's on our agenda? Let me tweak the agenda. Let me do this and that. I did have some little run-ins with like trying to get our episode up. So I learned some new tricks on, shout out to iMovie, shout out to QuickTime, shout out to my hard drive. So I made it work. Ready? Episode 4 or 3 is ready. This is episode 4. And then today I'm feeling pretty good. I'm a little bit tired. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't looking forward to this all day.
Literally. Could not wait. We're like 7 p.m. 7 p.m.
I mean, I love podcasting with you. However, who do we have today?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Guests, listeners, we are so excited because we have our first guest today. It's not just Danny and I. We have Queen Victoria.
Queen Victoria herself.
Literally Queen Victoria. She's amazing. We're so excited to have her come and talk to us about just so many beautiful facets of her life. Danny, do you want to tell more about Victoria?
I kind of want to. I'm going to do it in like a roll call manner of all of her skills and all of the things that make her amazing. She's a mom. She's a marathoner. She's a trainer. She's an instructor. She's a holistic living advocate and has a master's in classical voice. Also a military wife, which makes so much sense because every time I look at her Instagram stories, I'm like, oh, 600. Yep, it's 6 a.m. Yeah, I'm up too. Why is there like 13 and 14?
I know.
And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I'll go along with that. Thanks for making me do math.
Mm-hmm. And now we
understand. Now we understand. And so we're here to celebrate all of those things that make her up, all of those facets, all of those very different parts of her life that come together into this queen.
Yes.
So, Victoria, would you like to say hi to everybody and tell us how your day is going?
Hi, everyone. Thank you. Thank you so much for that sweet introduction. Definitely more on the peasantry lines than royalty, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Here's my little tiara.
I'd be in your court any day.
I love it. How am I today? Tuesdays are long for me. I wake up at 3:30.
Oh my gosh.
300.
3:30.
Oh, 3:30. We got a half hour in there.
It makes a difference. The reason why I do that though is because I don't like to rush in my mornings. If I have to rush, I am not grounded. I'm very grumpy the entire day. Everything could go my way, but regardless, because I rushed myself in the morning, it's spoiled.
It's like starting on the wrong foot, right?
Yes. So I wake up very slowly, have coffee. That is a must. Mm-hmm. And get everyone in my household ready before I leave at 6 a.m. So I taught two classes this morning, a 7 o'clock and an 8. And then from there, dealt with some train delays like we all do. And I had a class from 10 to 12. And then I typically have a client in the afternoon, but I had her yesterday. So I got to go home and clean for 2 hours. So that was nice. I typically do between 2 to 3 hours of cleaning a day. It's, you have to think, I have three children and two fur babies in a New York City apartment. It adds up.
it does. It really adds up.
See our faces. We're both like mouth agape. What?
I mean,
2 hours, and then I took the bus back to campus because I had another 2 hour class. And
so what are you going to school for?
So I stayed at Manhattan School of Music for one more year for a performance certificate. It's basically a third year master's solely of electives. So I get to choose what I want to study. And then this semester I'm putting on a recital.
We're going.
Are we? I was going to ask if we're invited, but we're going. This is so exciting. When is the end of the semester so that we can write this in?
Yes, my recital is May 3rd. It's a Saturday at 7 p.m.
My gosh, Victoria, how wonderful. That's so exciting.
Thank you. I did have some slight regrets going back. I was like, why am I here again? Why am I here again? I just finished my master's. Why am I here? But those moments are very fleeting. I feel like lots of performers, you know, everyone, I think, regardless of what your job is, you have those moments of like, why am I doing this? And then you go, stop. Everything's fine.
Oh my gosh. So you're training, you're momming, you're cleaning, and then you go to class. Like, that's unbelievable.
Thank you. Wow. It, you know, you have to be very, very regimented, I think, in your schedule, but it's possible.
So we just heard everything that you, probably not even everything, we probably heard like 10% tip of the iceberg, right? Of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And somehow you've turned all of your passions into careers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What? Yes.
So tell us, how did you go from pursuing opera, stepping into fitness, putting it all together?
Mm. I mean, this goes way back, to be honest. My partner is the one who pushed me to go back to school. I am a college dropout and, you know, was living in Connecticut and went full blown into nonprofit work. And then also dealing with loss mitigation for mortgages. And then when we moved to Virginia Beach, my partner had said, I think you should go back to school. And I looked at him and I said, you're nuts. I'm not doing that.
At all. After zero consideration, hard pass.
Yeah. But then, you know, he pushed me for about 2.5 hours. It didn't help that we were driving cross country. So I couldn't just
you were him. Stuck in the car.
Stuck in the car.
And mind you, I was the driver and he's just like the berating passenger. And finally he got it out of me. It was literally hours. And he finally got it out of me. You know, what is stopping you? And I said to him, I said, the fear of failure.
Oh my gosh.
And his response, and I was just like, I just started crying. And I said, I was like, it almost killed me giving up music the first time. You're asking me to go back. I don't think I could give that up again if I start again. And he, I'm going to start crying. He looked at me and he said, the only person from possibly achieving your dreams is you.
I don't want to cry on my mic.
Gosh.
And with that, I enrolled in community college because my GPA was so low from being a college dropout.
Tabula rasa. Tabula rasa.
Yes. And so I started college again. Definitely different mindset going back in your late 20s and being hyper focused. So getting all my gen eds out of the way first. I had a baby that same semester I went back. That was wild. It was wild. But eventually I kept saying, I'm going to go as far as I can go. And the universe will tell me when that door finally closes. Yes. I'll be like, it will naturally just shut. And I'm very, very grateful that it's just, opportunities keep arising in a very serendipitous way. Wow. Yeah, so that's how I got back into opera and classical music. So thank you to Matthew, if he's listening.
Yeah, Matthew! Oh, wait, we're snapping.
Matthew.
Little queer clap. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so another thing, you know, facet of my life was in 2015, I started running. And then 2019, I started coaching and I was running half marathons with my last pregnancy. I ran a half marathon 6 months pregnant. I ran up to 39 weeks pregnant until I was like, okay, baby, no more. Baby's like, you're done.
When did you end? Wait, how many weeks?
So he was induced. I had him 40, it was 41 weeks and 3 days. Yeah. Oh. And then he was induced. He was like, he was comfy in there.
He was like, I've been going on these rides with you. I'm going to hang in here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was very much that.
And the last time you ran in that pregnancy was 39 weeks, you said?
Mm-hmm.
My gosh.
As a women's health and pelvic floor PT, this is possible, and we shouldn't be shying away because birth is an event.
Yeah.
You prepped for birth.
I did. It was
an athletic event, and you. Ugh, one day you will be the norm.
You know, it was actually, that pregnancy was very healing for me because my first two, I was in not the best environment, I think is the best way to put it, of culturally the expectation that's put on women, you know, and I was shamed by family, you know, and friends of, how dare you exercise? How dare you go wakeboarding pregnant? To the point where it was like, they were like, you're harming your baby. And I remember weeping and it was so miserable those first two pregnancies because I had doctors telling me, oh, you're eating for two. No, you're not allowed to work out. And it definitely took a toll on the pregnancy, took a toll on postpartum, more so with my second than my first. With my second, my partner deployed right after he was born. So I was alone then in postpartum. And so then when he came back and he was like, I want another baby. And I was like, no, you can be on shore duty while you're here supporting me. I'm no longer going to be alone having babies. Not even raising them. He was with us. He was with us when they were born. But anyways, like going back, that's why it was very healing having my third one, having a female doctor tell me, you know, I'm going in there as an avid runner. And I was like, I don't want to stop running. I want to keep doing this. And she said, absolutely. And I, because I was heavier at that point too, I was in a situation where I could actually lose weight my first trimester because I started at 200 pounds when I was running. And then I ended up, you know, I lost 20 pounds and then I gained 11 throughout. So it was like very healthy. And he was a 9-pound baby, you know? Yeah. So it was like,
that is also a healthy baby.
Yes. And 2 feet long. He was massive.
Oh my gosh.
Victoria, how, I feel like we're not that different in height.
Yeah. I'm like 5'5" and a half.
I say I'm 5'5". I'm definitely not 5'5".
I'm not that tall. I'm not that tall.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but it was a journey. So I guess I kind of got a little sidetracked.
That's fine.
But with fitness, it was kind of always in my corner, you know. And then 2019 started being a running coach. 2020, I was supposed to run my first full marathon, and then the world came to a halt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh my God. When did you do your first marathon?
I did my first marathon January 5th, 2024.
Can you tell us a little bit about the marathon and then why you did it? Were you just committed to, you know, 4 years later, or tell us about it?
A little bit. So, I mean, 2020, like I said, the world stopped. I all of a sudden started going through these changes. I was very swollen. My hair was falling out. I lost my eyebrows. I couldn't concentrate. I was very lethargic. And it was like, no matter what I ate, whether it was healthy or not, had a severe impact on my body. And I just kept getting more and more swollen. And so it was 3 years of struggling with this, you know, and trying to be positive in my body and love myself, even though I didn't recognize myself anymore. You know, you go from running 35 plus miles a week to within 7 months, I couldn't even run a mile. And I had gained 60 pounds in 7 months. It was that severe. So it was 3 years of battling, which I now know it was hormonal imbalance. My cortisol levels and insulin resistance was off the chart. I'm very grateful to the doctor that I had a telehealth appointment with. I'm a nurse. She was like, I'm going to put you in contact with this person. It was almost like kind of under the table. And yeah, so having a doctor in my corner, also having a doctor in my corner of not just giving me medication. Not that I'm against that, you know, to each their own on their journey. For me, I really wanted to see what my imbalances were and what I could do on my own before medical intervention.
I would still say that is a medical intervention because, you know, Hippocrates said, let food be thine medicine. And I think what I really applaud you for trying to figure out what the actual root causes were, as opposed to treating the symptoms. And there's nothing wrong with that also, especially if you are at a point where we need to get you back to a safer position, health-wise first. But it sounds like you weren't that far, and you were able to work with these doctors who were like, let's get to the root causes.
Yes. Very, very grateful. Thank you for saying that too. You know, it was a medical intervention. Absolutely. Through that, I went on a self-care journey. I started with my first run January 5th,
2023. A year before.
A year before. It was 3 miles. I ran across the GWB.
Those people who don't know what the GWB is.
The George Washington Bridge. And it was very humbling.
Jersey?
I did. I took a picture and I was like, Hi, Jersey.
I'm going to head back now.
Great seeing you. Here I go, back to the island. It was very humbling, let me tell you. You know, it was like the last time I ran outside, my pace was 8 minutes and it was like a 9 mile run, which was normal. And then that run, my pace was a 14:32. And I think it can be very discouraging for a lot of people. I'm guilty of it too, even to this day, of sometimes thinking back like, oh, you know, but I could do this. And I shifted my mindset that day where I said, no, enough. This is where I am right now, and that's okay. And I can only get better from here. No more reflecting on the past, being present,
absolutely,
accepting where my body's at, and just loving it, I think was the biggest thing.
That is,
oh my gosh, I have chills.
An important, thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of times what we do is we say, I don't like where I'm at, and so we forget about that person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we don't bring to light the celebration of your actual process.
Mm-hmm.
Still the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. Wow.
Yeah. So it was a year of self-love.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I love that. 2023, year of self-love.
It was. And then when I was, I ran a half marathon that August and it felt really good. And I said, you know what? I think it was just a runner's high when I posted it on social media. I was very much on a runner's high because I had immediate regret when the endorphins wore off.
Oh my gosh. The runner's high is real. And it hits at different points. I feel like it's not normally consistent. And I will say I get a runner's high every single time I run in a race, but I don't feel like I warm up until like mile three,
yeah,
or like in between 3 to 5. And then I get like, if it's a half marathon or a marathon, no matter what, I get like this incredible runner's high from like mile 7 to like 11 or 12. And then I get so excited. I'm like, my feet don't even know how to keep going forward. There's the finish line, and I turn into like Gumby, and I like start kind of like stumbling, and I'm like, breathe. And then I'm like, I forgot how to breathe. What's happening? Why is the line getting farther away from me? But it's definitely like this runner's high when you get it, it can still stay with you. And I love that about running. I will say I don't like particularly like running, but even though I'm a runner, but I don't get the runner's high from anything else.
Yeah, same. And it was definitely on a runner's high when I shared on Instagram, I'm gonna run my first full marathon. And then I got home and I ate pizza. And then I saw how many people commented and liked, and I went, oh no.
Yep.
Now I have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to do it. And
sometimes it helps by telling people, Jackie, this podcast.
Literally.
Accountability.
Literally. Well, it's like we told people, like, oh, we're going to have another episode tomorrow. And it's like, okay, guess we got to do it. That's, oh, I love that. I love that it was exactly a year before.
Yeah. Too.
That's really cool.
It just worked out that day. I had like a schedule change. I was supposed to run it that first Sunday. And then when I was looking at my calendar and like factoring childcare and all this stuff and then recoveries before I have to sing, I was like, well, I think my best bet is to run it that Friday. And then it wasn't until I was kind of just going back. I one of the things I love that I did was I just recorded so much. Mm-hmm. So I love to go back and see pictures and videos.
It's a documentary.
Yes. And I went back to that. I somehow made it back to January where it all started. And I went, oh my God, my first run was on the 5th. And I'm considered like, it was very,
literally a healing journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. I just want to say that I am so in awe of, on my screen, I'm sandwiched on Zoom in between Queen Victoria and Jackie. And these two, their persistence and consistency is something that is so strong about them, something to be coveted. And I do feel I'm so guilty of this, and it's probably the inner workings of my brain. I do things when I have motivation, and I'm realizing like those times that we have motivation, we need to ride that all the way into a routine because motivation can wane. And so I want to ask both of you guys actually really quickly. When you feel your motivation has waned, what are the things, mostly because I need to use some for this half marathon that I have to get through, what are the things that you've pulled, that have pulled you through?
Oh, I mean, having a small support system, your closest people, I mean, like for me, it was definitely my partner. There were times where I'd sit there and I'm like, oh, I don't want to. And he knows my schedule. And he would be like that. Get up.
Mm.
Get up. Go do it. And, you know, and I'd like kind of putz. So I think that's definitely having that motivator behind you when you have goals like that. But as far as pushing myself, I found journaling to be a really good tool for me of why did I agree to do this in the first place, and writing bullet points and then saying, not saying, but by reflecting, going back to the reason why, it's very uplifting. The negatives start to wane away.
Yeah. That's, I need to get back to journaling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if it's just, you know, notes on your phone.
Yes, absolutely. Public transit.
Yeah.
Yes. I look like I'm always deep and I have a mask on and my hat and I'm always like writing my internal monologue.
Yeah. The notes app, the Google Docs like work on the train most of the time too, which is nice. You can like mm-hmm. notes that way and that's cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Jackie? What's your
For me, I think it's accountability for me. Cause I'm not a runner in terms of like, you know, going on runs by myself, but like I like to go to classes. And if I tell someone I'm gonna be at their class, like I better show up, because if I don't show up, like I told them I was gonna be there.
And I also find that music really helps me too, like liking a song or that's really big for me. I love the music.
So like all my Spotify raps recently have been like, you listen to a lot of dance music. I'm like, yep, because I go to like all these classes. And that makes it really fun.
Speaking of music, mm-hmm. transition us to, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, actually. Number one of the questions we were going to ask Queen Victoria was, what's like one of your favorite songs when you're running? And she says she doesn't listen to music when she runs. Meanwhile, I'm listening to Juvenile Back That Ass Up. And like, oh, I just want to say that first of all. So we're going to take the music question in a different direction.
You don't listen to music when you run. That's unbelievable.
No, it's very, very rare. Every once in a while, like when I ran the full marathon, my first wall is between miles 7 and 9. And for whatever reason, I will typically get songs that pop into my head. And that was the first time I pulled out my phone and it was Missy Elliott, Lose Control.
Oh, I love that song.
Love.
Music make you lose control. Let's go. It's so
30 good. Miles. I just kept pushing play like it was morphine. And my mom's just like, other times, though, I will typically push through and I will just let the one phrase play. Like another song, I can't believe I'm going to admit this. One of the frequent songs that pops into my head while I run is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, we love you. And oh, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, loves us too.
And then once the runner high kicks in, then I see Ace Ventura. Like,
oh my gosh, I love this.
He clips in my head, and you know, he's like, oh. Like a whole. So that's what happens in my head when I run with music, or lack thereof.
You literally create your own music.
Yes.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me, given that's literally one of your trainings.
Yeah.
Jackie's mouth is open.
Like, literally.
I was talking to my therapist about this because so many people are quite alarmed when they discover I don't run with music. And my therapist, he asked me why do you not do it? And I said, one, I've noticed it affects my breathing, which affects my cadence and my pace. I start breathing to the rhythm and not to my own circadian. So then I start like hyperventilating while I'm running, or I'll like breathe with singers, and some singers, they don't breathe. So then I'm like,
guppy breathing.
So that's one of the reasons why. And then the second reason why is with running, it is very meditative for me. It is the only time, except for those random songs that just occasionally pop in, it is truly the only time where it's silence. I have no inner thoughts. I am present. I am existing. And I love that. Yeah. And he did. He said you've achieved this state of meditation.
Oh my gosh, this is a really great book called Qi Running. They talk about form, but they also talk about it as meditative. And as New Yorkers, when is your mind, as you go through your day, when is your mind quiet? No inner thoughts. You're just present and you're just existing.
Yeah, never, unless I'm running.
Yeah.
It's the only time.
Wow. I will try that. I do run a podcast.
Really?
That's cool. And like not normal podcasts, but like podcasts that I can learn from. So usually they're scientific. I should just run in silence, you guys.
That's so cool. Oh my gosh. I don't know if I feel like I would need pump up music, but
you know what? We just need accountability. The three of us are going to have a date in Central Park or a soft jog around.
Yes. Nice soft jog.
Done. Listeners, you heard this.
We're doing it.
We're doing this. It's a date.
That's so cool, Victoria. Oh my gosh. I'm amazed. This whole interview, I'm like jaw on the floor. Oh my goodness.
What lessons have you taken from music that you carry over into like training or teaching?
Oh my gosh. There's so many actually, because you know, the thing with being a singer, just a musician in general, is that we are athletes.
Yes. Endurance athletes.
Yes. Yes. So lots of things that carry over. Discipline. You have to find self-motivation to practice, to research, to study, to perform. And it's very much the same thing as a trainer. You have to be disciplined and self-motivated, writing programs for your clients, programs for group fitness classes, showing up, being motivated, you know, even, and it's in that sense of like doing group fitness, it feels a little performative, which I didn't expect, to be honest, of keeping all my energy and engaging and, you know, get a few laughs. And, you know, it's like when you're performing on a stage and you get nothing from the house.
Yeah.
And you have to keep the energy ramped up and going. And then afterwards, you're like, that was such a great class. And you're like, oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I wouldn't know in the moment, but I'm so glad you had fun.
Deadpan stare. Jackie, we also have to go to one of our classes. Jackie and I never deadpan, but we do holler and drop it like it's hot.
Yes.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah.
You're hype girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just let me know when. I'll give you guest passes.
Is it because we're famous?
No. Just perks of employment.
That's awesome.
I'm going to tell them that it's the other thing that I just said.
But what kind of classes do you teach? Like what are your, what forms?
So they have a total body strength, a total body endurance. There's a 30-minute cardio conditioning and then a 30-minute core class. Those are the four classes that I currently teach there. So with strength, using heavier weights, lesser reps, slightly more rest. I've been told by some members that my strength is slightly more intense than others. But everyone still keeps showing up, so they must enjoy it.
Yeah, because they're making gains.
That's awesome. We're going
for hypertrophy, guys.
Yes, exactly. And then with endurance, lighter weights, more reps, slightly shorter rest periods. My cardio conditioning classes, I will say it's like my homage to Shaun T.
My gosh.
Wait, explain to me Shaun T.
Oh my gosh.
And then I might cut this out because I'm embarrassed.
No. Okay, so Shaun T, personal trainer. He's one of the founding trainers of Beachbody. So he's done several different series. The one that it is my homage to is titled Insanity. I did Insanity for postpartum after my first pregnancy and I fell in love with it. So
we both did Insanity and I didn't know anybody's name.
Yeah, the instructor Shaun T.
Yeah, I did both P90X and Insanity. I have all the DVDs.
I do too. I saved them. I love.
Wait, Jackie, did you do Shaun T also?
I didn't do Shaun T. I did Pio or whatever. Oh my gosh, what was her name? It's escaping me right now. But I did enjoy all those.
Tell me we're millennials without telling me we're millennials.
Like literally.
Right. I've literally aged myself by referencing Beachbody.
Well, there's something wonderful about being able to like I always loved about Beachbody was that you'd hit play and it would say like how much time you had left. So you could like, yeah. See, I just think it was very,
you could pace yourself.
Yeah. And it was a way to make it more accessible. Yeah. And you're home and you could choose the amount of time that you want to work out. It just made mm-hmm. it, you just, and I love like having to think. So you just press play and you just go. I think I really yeah. that.
His program Insanity really, it hit me in that sense of, you know, it's like very more athletic in high school, of different sports and volleyball and hockey with for fun. And so getting back to the basis of like circuits and plyometrics
yeah.
and, you know, and calisthenic training. And it just kind of fueled my soul in a way I didn't realize how much I missed it. And so with cardio conditioning, I'm very grateful to my manager. He lets us put our passions and our own spin on these classes. So each trainer is slightly different. It's like for their niche of how they specifically train in those different oh, categories. And so yeah, this funny. Is, yeah. yeah, yeah. So this is my way of cardio conditioning. I love like getting the circuits in, getting those calisthenics, plyometrics. And then with core, I definitely make it more of a full body experience. Just because 30 minutes on your core is a lot. So incorporate the full body, but it's a core emphasis and she spices.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah. I feel very lucky to have a manager that puts trust in us of programming our classes, how we enjoy teaching.
Oh, that is so cool. I liked hearing about your classes too. Like it was, yeah. and the joy in your eyes when you were talking about it was really, really great to see.
She was smiling the whole time. I don't know if it's because she knew she was torturing people.
But. It's true. It's true. You were smiling the whole time and you could see how excited you were about it. So I loved that. Okay, I have another question. What do you think was your key lesson from your journey that you now share with your students in your classes?
Oh my gosh, there are so many things. I mean, key lessons that I share to my students, like in my classes.
Mm-hmm.
I always start my classes by saying all bodies are good bodies. You know your body best. Do what is best for you. And I truly mean that. I don't know
why I'm tearing up.
I know.
I have it posted on my website as well. And I mean it every single class. I say it, and I know some of my regulars, even some of them, they were like, oh, yeah, I know. Like, we're not. Keep telling you for the people in the back, because, you know, we live in a society where there's still a lot of judgment and stigma. And you should love your body wherever you are in your wellness journey. I feel like that is the biggest lesson that I share with my participants in class. And then the last thing I always specify to them is prioritize your form over speed.
Mm, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, the PT in me smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I think throwing nothing away.
And that's so nice too, as a participant in class, like, I would think sometimes like, oh, well, everybody else is going so fast. Like, I should just go that fast. But it's like, no, like, get the form right. It's really mm-hmm. helpful. And it's nice to hear that from a teacher, and because it makes you feel more welcomed too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's that permission that you're giving. And you're like, oh, you do see me.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. I loved that answer. What about like, okay, so how did you transition from your own personal growth to helping others as a trainer and instructor?
Oh my gosh. It was something that I started to think about, daydream. I'll call it daydreams. So it was about month 7 of my self-love year, where I started having daydreams of being a personal trainer and also as a performer, having an avenue of income that I enjoy. You know, I was like floating there on the top of my to-do list. And then I kept talking myself out of it. And it was very, I would say, no, I'm not strong enough yet. I'm not strong enough yet. I'm not there yet. I need to accomplish more to be taken seriously as a personal trainer. And
hello, imposter syndrome.
Literally.
And you know, and at that time too, I had several friends that would come over and they'd work out with me. And after a wine and I call them wine and wines that I have with clients, WHINE and WINE, a wine and wine. So
wait, I flipped that in my head. I was like, whoa. I thought it was WINE and WHINE during exercise.
Not during exercise. We had exercised and then we had a wine and wine.
Wine and wine. I love it.
I love that.
And I have opened up to her about it. And she'll never forget. She looked at me and she went, Victoria, you're already training me. What are you talking about? And I went, what?
You already started.
I have no clue. And she was like, yes, you are. You force me to come over. You keep me accountable. You motivate me to keep going when I want to stop. Mm-hmm. You give me options that suit my body. She was like, that's training. Like, what are you talking about? And then I remember I sat back and I went, huh, well, okay then. And so then I started doing research. It was definitely still imposter syndrome though. I took much longer than I probably should have, to be honest, with getting certified. You know, but to each their own on their journey. And doing research of which, you know, nationally accredited way I was going to go as far as PT, what suited me financially as well. That's a big thing to consider because some of them are very, very pricey.
And often the priciest are popular, but they may not be the best. I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah. I have a few training certifications and dabbled in multiple training cults. So you just have to find the one that suits you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I did. And I took my sweet time. I purchased it in December. And I waited. Oh my goodness. I can't believe I'm going to admit this. I literally waited 2 weeks before it was going to expire to finally take the test.
Wow.
I kept talking myself out of it, and well, I'm not ready, and no, I haven't studied enough, and then at that point I couldn't do it online, so I had to take a bus to Jersey to take it in person. So it ended up being this whole thing.
Hello, Jersey again.
Going to Jersey on a bus. Oh my god, that was an experience.
Wait, you don't that's have- I don't know if that's serendipitous or ironic that you started your first run of the year towards Jersey and then closed the loop.
Literally.
Whoa. You know, maybe I shouldn't knock on Jersey so hard.
It's okay.
It apparently played a part. It apparently played a part. A good part in my journey. So yeah, that's how I segued into PT. And then from there, and you know, and I won't lie to you, there were several people, several trainers that I confided in, and they were more than supportive as well. Very, very supportive and just offering me advice and guidance of navigating PT life in the city. Like, where should you start? For employment, things to look out for, red flags, all these things. So I'm very, very grateful to those few, because they definitely saved me a lot of money and time and unnecessary stress.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you alleviated your stress in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Can we recap that story? Number one, you had a support system to get you going. Mm-hmm. Number two, you had your accountability, which was both her in the expiration date of your lesson, of your certification. And I would say that you prioritized your form over your speed of taking the test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Can I just say that I love that you daydreamed about being a personal trainer?
Yes.
I think it's very easy as an adult to forget to daydream about things.
So important.
Because it's like, oh no, like I have to keep doing what I'm doing here, and I can't change the trajectory of my life. Like, this is just the way it is, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just like, oh no, this is just what I'm doing, and this is how it goes. And then you're like, wait, what do I dream about?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's to me, it is one of the most important magical parts of our lives that so many adults let go of. And you nailed it on the head of, you know, well, I, because you refuse to dream, you never know the possibilities that await you. And I am a firm believer that life is fleeting. We never know what is going to happen. Why would you want to live your life doing something that makes you unhappy, mm-hmm. if you don't have to? You know, I understand for seasons, I've been there, but it's a temporary moment, you know, and again, it's fleeting, it flies right by. But why not shift that focus into things that make you happy? And by putting your energy into that, I think a lot of people would be surprised as to opportunities that present. I really believe that you can achieve anything that you work for. Your path might be very, very different compared to others, right? Some people might just get from point A to point B very, very fast. You might have to, you know, go through the Candy Cane Mountains and through Gumdrop Island to get there, or trudge your own path, you know, but that's not to say that it's impossible.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm just going to play this episode over and over again before I go into an audition. Be like, you're trudging through the Candy Cane Mountains. Here we go. We're going to do this.
You're taking the path that's less traveled.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
that resonates so much with me. Thank you. I just feel on my own trajectory. I went back to school to do my post-bac when I was in my mid-20s. And then I didn't start my doctorate until I was like, I guess it's mid-20s, 20, almost 27. I didn't graduate till like, or no, I was 26. I graduated when I was 29. And I was like, I'm really behind. But there's no behind if you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Never too late. Never too late.
I'm gonna quote all of this.
Yeah, literally. Add it, put it in the quote box.
Can't wait for your book.
I know, literally.
What?
What? She's writing a book. What?
Spread it.
Okay, so this is the It's Your Turn segment, okay? When we say grab the mic and take your turn, what does that look like for you?
That's hard. It feels like a moment to be confident and loud and unapologetic.
Mm. Love it. Okay, along the same lines as that, what does taking up space mean to you now?
I would say they're very similar, but slightly different in the sense of I think taking up space is where you are finding the strength to believe in your voice and then using that voice to advocate for yourself. Yes, that is taking up space to me.
What's a victory that you're most proud of today?
Man, you know,
So many things.
I'll go with my most recent. It's an odd victory. I'll say that. It's an odd to me, but to me it's a victory. I've shifted my mindsets in a lot of things in life, and one of them is the acceptance of that you are replaceable. And not a bad thing. I know typically people will go, oh my God, what? But there is power in knowing that. And going back to along those lines of for those seasons of doing something that makes you unhappy, the season ends, you are replaceable, and you have the power to say goodbye. And they will be fine. They will continue to go about their business, they will replace you, and then you get to thrive. So I would say that is my most recent victory of being in my power, saying goodbye, and being replaced.
Oh my gosh, that is such a huge mic drop and such a huge mindset shift. Because
You
most
just
people
grabbed
think,
the mic, took your turn, and took up space.
literally, most people think like, oh, I'm replaceable. Like that's terrible. No, like
But they use it, it's fear.
it's
It's
fear.
fear because
Yes. Wow.
it's
Wow.
not. You hold the power. That right there means that you hold the power in your life. And for everything, everything.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, I need more. I need more. Okay. Words of wisdom for others who are stepping into their power. What words of wisdom do you have for them?
I would say, oh, there's a lot. First, protect your power. Protect it. Meaning, surround yourself with like-minded people who will uplift your goals and dreams. Meaning, you don't, to someone that is interested in your life, you don't give them all the cards that you're holding in your hand because you don't know what they're going to do with that information, right? Protecting yourself in that capacity. Admitting to yourself that you are enough, not seeking that outside validation. What else? I would say boundaries are not selfish, but are a necessity for success. Another thing. Take time to appreciate small moments and find time to laugh. I don't think we laugh enough or find just simple joys, especially in the city. It's a very go, go, go. And it's important for you to take a step back and just treasure a small moment, whatever that is.
Where have you been all of my life?
Literally.
And how much do I owe you for this session?
Literally. I'm just gonna screen grab all of these moments and just put them in my ears at all times and be like, Victoria, what do I need to do? What do I need to do?
Before you hit her with another question, I just want to say, you guys, you're going to be able to find all of her information. No, not all of it. In the show notes, but if you're wondering about her website that she referenced earlier, it's www.victoriamagnuson.com. And we'll have that in the show notes also.
I don't know why I'm pointing at my computer. Like, you can see that.
We'll put it in the show notes. Okay. How about words of wisdom for moms?
Oh. You know, it's a hard one for me to answer. One, my journey of motherhood is nothing traditional. You know, I'm a young mom, and it's been a very isolating part of my life because of that. And that's okay. That's okay. I've accepted that. So I'm a little apprehensive to answer this. But the things that I would say to mothers or parents, right, parents in general, is that it is a beautiful thing, but don't lose yourself. So many parents end up giving up themselves on the journey of caring and raising a child, and it's not selfish to take time for yourself. You have to fill your cup in order to fill the cups of everyone else around you. What else would I say? And that goes along the lines of, like, find a hobby outside of your home, away from your babies. Whatever it is, once a week, get out. Even if you go to a park and read a book.
Mm-hmm.
Away.
I just want to say this is the way that you prefaced how you don't have anything to offer. This is such a gold nugget, because I can't help but think about your children getting to be witnesses to your life and what's possible in life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Like, look what mom's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all that mom's doing.
All.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you both are gonna make me cry. It's hard because I sit there sometimes and I worry, you know, am I not home enough? Am I not giving enough attention? What do they need?
Those are common thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for that. What else would I say for advice? My last one, actually, this is something I did with my own children and I still do, is don't be afraid to put yourself in timeout.
Explain that to me.
You as a parent get very overwhelmed. Set your baby down and put yourself in a designated corner on the stairs, wherever, without a device. Set your timer, whatever your timeout is. Baby will be okay in the crib. Even as toddlers, I did this with my kids as toddlers. I had the timeout corner. And like time out on the stairs, depending on which house we were living in. And they can attest that there would be times where I would say, mom's in timeout. You can't talk to me. And I would just sit on the steps in timeout and they're like, oh, okay. And they would leave me alone. They would leave me alone. And then I'd come out of timeout and then we'd talk about my feelings.
Is this also important for spouses?
Yes. Okay. Why not? Absolutely.
Matt and Mark have no clue what's coming.
Right, literally. I love that. That's a great tip.
But I think it can actually apply to everyone in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Put yourself in timeout. It's okay.
It's okay.
Sit with your feelings.
I love that you talk about your feelings afterwards too. Like, that's really sweet.
It's important, you know, definitely not something to graze over with children. And I think it teaches them how to, one, that it's okay to have feelings, mm-hmm. and the importance of communicating, like, what upset them, how are they feeling now, and how do we move forward from here? And I think that just makes you a better human being if you are able to communicate that throughout life.
Yes, yes. Okay, one more like serious question and then we'll get to like some fun ones.
Okay.
So what's one piece of advice you would tell your younger self?
Oh, she went through a lot. I think I would tell her it's okay to say no. I think if I could only tell her one thing, that's what I would say. And by learning how to do that, that encompasses all parts of life, of setting boundaries for work, socially, intellectual. You want to talk about holistic living, you have to learn how to say no in all of those realms of life.
To create boundaries so that you can actually live out a healthy, holistic life.
Yes.
You go, younger self.
Yes,
Thank
yes, yes.
you.
Okay, so we started this in our first episode. I think the subway is always a great, thing that we have to deal with as New Yorkers. What is one subway story that you would like to share with us?
Oh my God. So I will preface this by I had to do four round trips to the city with my van to move everything into my apartment. The first two trips I had assistance. The last two trips I was by myself, and I had the kids and dogs with me both times. So I was not in a well state of mind. And then I had to go straight to campus for orientation with all of these wonderful, bright-eyed musicians. And I am this hobgoblin ascending from Virginia Beach. Delirious from, driving back and forth in the span of, it was like within 3 days I did that. It was insane. Don't recommend, friends. But anyways, I finished orientation. I'm on my way home. I'm coming out of the bowels of the one train off of 168. It's the end of August, so it's hotter than hell itself. It's like Satan's ball sack, like moist and hot down there. And you can only take an elevator up.
Oh, it
So
sounds.
you're all just like, you're sticky, you're nasty. It's been 16 hours. I want to get the fuck out of the station. Like, I'm like itching to get out of the station. So I'm like booking it up the stairs. And you talk about that top step, Danny, you talk about that top step. And I am a person who has succumbed to the top step. And I freaking flew. I landed on my phone, shattered my phone screen. I got the freaking wind knocked out of me. Like the phone hit me right in my diaphragm, and I just went,
Oh.
and I'm kind of laying there, and my like everything in my purse went fucking flying. And then this guy comes over to me, and he was like, I've seen a lot of people eat shit on that step, but you fucking flew. And in my winded breath coming back, I was like, thanks, thanks.
That top step is a sneaky, sneaky, spicy bitch.
Murderous. He helped me up, and apparently I looked like a fucking tourist because he was like, welcome to the city, that's how it greets you. And I was like, awesome, I'm so glad we got that introduction over with right away.
Initiation.
And
Oh,
then I
that's.
had to climb out more staircases, and I had to walk a half mile home, and so I'm freaking hobbling. And I was like, oh my fucking, what have I done? What have I? And now I'm very leery of all top steps. It only needs to happen once, to make a lasting impact, unless like I get dementia and it's like, but.
Oh
I think I'm
my
gonna like
gosh.
just set up a video camera again and like
The other day I
see
was
too
walking up
many
this
people.
the other day I was walking up the steps of the subway and I was like, watch that top step, watch that top step. I've learned a lot this week.
I learned that if you like, I point at it. So then I'm like, I'm gonna clear that. It's also what we sort of teach like our people who aren't as spatial, and also patients who have Parkinson's, when you go through a doorway, you count the corners of the doorway, count the top step.
Oh my God.
Smart.
Oh my God.
Smart, smart, smart.
Noted, noted. I do have another story that involves a pothole in the rain. But if you want to hear it, you can take it out or choose.
Let's hear it. And we'll Let's hear see. It.
Okay. So again, descending from the bowels of the one train at 168, there's a reason why I take the bus now and I avoid that station. 10 o'clock at night, frickin' downpour, the wind is coming in, my umbrella breaks, you know, because I didn't invest in a good umbrella yet. Umbrella breaks, walking across the street, there's a guy walking next to me, and we're both, like, miserable. We're both in our black puffers, hood is up, just like, it's 10 o'clock at night, we just want to get home. Like, it's clear we've both been up since 5 a.m. Didn't realize that, like, with rain, you should be alert of potholes. You know, but when it's like flooding the street, how do you know they exist? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, you don't know that they exist.
And, abysses.
And I stepped in one, I rolled my ankle. I did a fucking belly flop, like a thwop, like my head.
He's dying.
And all I did was like, rock my life. He was like, "You okay?" And I'm getting up, and I was like, "Dude, look like I'm fucking okay." He's like, "Don't get mad at me because you fell into a pothole, Blondie." And I was like, "Ew." And he stirred, and then I hobbled home.
And he was like, "Have a nice day, New Yorker."
Oh my gosh.
Fuck you. Like, we had a wonderful greeting, like a farewell.
It's the New York greeting.
Yeah. It is. It's a New York greeting.
Farewell. Yeah. He was like, you know what? She's made it.
Yeah. Nobody thought I was a tourist in that moment.
Oh my gosh. I know that we've been firing questions at you, and now we're going to do rapid fire questions. So you have sort of do this as quickly as you can. Without thinking, one of them we kind of already asked, and so I'm going to switch it, but I'm going to go through this really quickly. Okay. Best post-run meal?
Pizza.
What kind of pizza?
Any kind. I'm not that picky.
A song that hypes you up, or a song that you want to be your life theme song?
You know what? This is actually very I got it. I'm Still Standing, Elton John.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Good I one. Have to rapid fire, but I have so much that I want to say about that. What is your favorite Shakespeare sonnet?
So it's Sonnet 29. It's a cute, oh my gosh, it's such a beautiful sonnet. I love it so much. Yes.
Oh my gosh. One thing you wish more people knew about fitness?
That it is for everyone and that there's always a way.
If you could sing any opera role tomorrow, what would it be?
It's not an opera. It's an operetta.
If you could sing any operetta role tomorrow, what would it be?
It would be Adela in Deflategemouse.
Adela
in Deflategemouse.
Okay. I'm going to Google that later.
Translation, the bat.
The bat.
I knew you were the Batman.
No, she's not. She's a maid wanting to be an actress, and she kind of lies her way into getting into a party. It's a comedy. It's German and Vietnamese waltz, and it's I freaking love it. So many classical musicians will be like, oh my God. They're so like pretentious. They're only like Verdi, Puccini. And I'm like, operetta.
Oh, that's fun.
Keep dreaming. It's going to happen. Dreaming equals manifesting equals you're in the Dillemonge operetta. What's your favorite food or meal in NYC?
Nadas.
Empanadas.
Yes.
Wait, not as empanadas?
Yes.
I can eat there. It's gluten free.
It is gluten free.
It's so good.
It's so
oh my
good.
gosh, Jackie, I am bringing you some. My clinic is in Union Square and it's down by us.
You're so
down by
close.
Me. So let me know if you need it.
We gotta go.
And then tell us about your hobbies. Go.
Words, Victoria. I mean, as you stated, I read Shakespearean sonnets. I love them. I find pleasure in them. And then other hobbies, when I have time, I make candles.
What?
And I paint. So sometimes I paint the candles. So I do the stylistic of painting. It's folk art from Norway, from Telemark, called Kolsmaling. And there's different like folk art floral designs, so I'll paint them on candles. But yes, I make candles when
Is
I
this
have
on your
time.
website?
No,
is
but
this
if
on your
you
Instagram?
No,
you
I
guys,
think
we're gonna put her Instagram handle on there, and she will DM you individual pictures of her
yes.
painted candles.
I need
Oh,
to
my
pick up.
candle! I'll give you. I'll make you some. I'll make
Well,
you
that
some.
sounds that's
Oh my
lovely.
gosh, that is so lovely. And it must be really therapeutic.
It is now. It was very stressful to learn how to make them. There's like a sweet spot, but now that I have a better understanding of my equipment and the type of wax I like to use, I enjoy it.
You are a Renaissance woman.
Literally. Multi-hyphenate.
Wow. And will you start selling these, or I'm asking for a friend?
You know, I attempted to a couple years ago. We were talking about like income, passive income for performers, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna sell candles." It did not go well. So she's just an expensive
Fun.
hobby now that I gift people.
Expensive hobby. I love that. Well, it's time to wrap up. So, do you have any final words, Queen Victoria?
Oh my gosh, you're the sweetest thing calling me that. I would say I would just like to say thank you so much for having me. This has truly been a delight. For anyone that's listening, as a recap, you are enough. You are enough, regardless of your profession, a performer, on your wellness journey. Love yourself. Always love yourself. You come first.
Oh gosh, this has been the most awesome hangout.
Literally.
That's what it feels like. And I can't wait to do more of these off the air also. I'm sold. I'm
I would
sold.
Love that.
What about you, Jackie?
Literally. I was already a huge fan. I'm now an even bigger fan.
Oh, I know. I know.
Like literally, I'm like, if I couldn't be more obsessed with her, like now I'm even more obsessed with you. You're just it just was a delight to get to know more about you and to hear about your journey and just all that you're doing, and then just gain so much wisdom from you.
Oh my gosh.
Like I learned so much tonight and I needed to hear so much tonight. So thank you
yes.
so much.
Thank you so much for sharing all of your lessons with all of us. If we wanted to find you or stalk you and support you, where can we do that? What are your socials? Where's your classes? And we can put all this in the show notes as well.
Best way, Instagram, victoria.magnus, two S's. For stalking my classes, come visit me at Vital on the Lower East Side. You can book classes through Mindbody. If for some reason it says it's full, message me on Instagram and I can override the system for you.
Yeah.
I have the power.
You guys, we can't wait to see all of you there with us.
Yes. Yes. A My Turn Pod community class. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
Victoria,
thank you so much.
We have so much gratitude for you. Thank you for sharing your energy. And we know that this is one of your longest days. And thank you for sharing your wisdom. I mean, Wow. I have a lot to contemplate. Again, it, like, tell us how much you're going to charge us for this session. We're totally okay. Do you take Venmo? So, any last words, Jackie?
Thank you so much, Victoria. This was such a treat.
It really was.
Both are the best. Creating this space for your friends, for yourselves. You both are truly incredible women. Incredible.
From Queen Victoria herself.
Literally, my day, my work is done. It's all I needed in life was that validation. I feel knighted now, honestly, from the queen.
I sent thee forth.
I sent thee forth. No, but seriously, thank you for taking the time today. Like Danny said, we know this is such a busy day for you. So we appreciate you sitting with us and sharing your wisdom.
Of course. You both are the best. I mean it. This has given me energy.
Well, thank you for grabbing the mic and taking your turn.
Yes.
And we'll have you on the podcast soon again. And thank you, everyone who is listening. And that was quite the elongated love fest that you'll all have to sit through. All right. We'll see you next time on My Turn.
Bye.
Bye.